we want to take just as our text tonight. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Thinking of our motto text that we ministered upon on the Sabbath past, emphasizing the need, the importance of seeking the Lord, we want to follow on from that just with a message that will give us some help in that regard on the matter of prayer. I want us to think tonight about the place of prayer. We often speak about, even in our prayers, refer to the place of prayer. And I want to stress, brethren and sisters, that that should be a reality for us as the Lord's people. I want to emphasize there is a need to have a place to pray. There is a public place to pray, and that is the prayer meeting of the church, where we find ourselves this evening. I want to take the opportunity to thank you for your presence. Thank you for your faithfulness, your faithful prayer support of this congregation and the wider witness of the gospel. So the prayer meeting is the public place to pray. But particularly tonight, I want us to think of the private place of prayer. If you think of the words of our text, it speaks about the closet. Enter into thy closet. And I want us to think about our closet life as it's described here in the scriptures. And the fact is that every Christian ought to have a closet life. Sometimes the expression is used about skeletons in the closet. But that's not the sort of closet life that the Bible is talking about or referring to. Every Christian ought to have a place to pray, to seek the face of God. Think of the words of our motto text, it's time to seek the Lord. Well, every Christian should have a place to seek the Lord, to seek his face. You think of the struggles of prayer. We can all identify with them. We've all known and felt it and experienced it, how difficult it can be to pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And one reason that we are faced with and are challenged so much with the struggles of prayer is we don't pray in the right place. So I want us for a few minutes tonight to think about the place of private prayer. I'll emphasize to you, first of all, it should be a specific place. You think of the place of prayer, the place for you to pray privately, it should be a specific place. Notice what the Savior teaches here. He says, enter into thy closet. So he's talking about a specific, a definite place. Need to ask the question, need to ask the question of yourself tonight. Do you have a place to pray? You have a place to work? You have a place to eat? You have a place to sleep? Well, here's something more important than any of them. What about a place to pray? In other words, a specific, a very definite place where you go to talk to the Lord. I want to point out to you that the Lord Jesus did. He had a place to pray. And remember that we should be like the Savior. He is our example in all things, and especially in his prayer life. Remember what the Bible says of the Lord Jesus, that the disciples were watching him when he gave the instructions with regard to the Lord's Prayer. They were watching him praying. So they were challenged by the example of the Savior. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus that he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Most of us are familiar with that singular occasion just before his crucifixion, when the Lord Jesus went to Gethsemane and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Sometimes we can be mistaken in thinking that was the only time that he ever prayed in Gethsemane. John tells us in his account of those events, the Lord Jesus often resorted thither with his disciples. So Gethsemane wasn't a place that he prayed just once. It was a place where he prayed often, prayed regularly, The Lord Jesus had a place to pray. And we should learn from that, brethren and sisters, and seek to be like him. There are many other examples of that truth in the scriptures. Think of Isaac. Do you remember that when the servant was returning with the bride, returning with Rebekah, we're told that Isaac was going out into the field. And the scriptures tell us he was going out into the field for a specific purpose. It wasn't to tend the flocks or the cattle or to cultivate the fields. He was going out into the field at evening because he was going out to meditate. Not interesting how he spent the evening hours before retiring to bed. In fact, the marginal reading there, the alternative reading in the margin, is he went out into the field to pray. So Isaac had a specific place to call upon the Lord, to look to the Lord in prayer. You think of a New Testament example. Think of Peter when he was staying down in Joppa on the seacoast. He was in the home of Simon the Tanner. And the Acts of the Apostles tells us that he went up onto the housetop. Remember that the houses in those eastern countries, particularly in Israel, have a flat roof in the cool of the day. Particularly, they will go up there to sit. But here's the reason Peter went up onto the housetop. The Bible says to pray. So where did Peter pray? Where was his place of prayer? It was up there on the housetop. He withdrew from the home, withdrew from the family. Think of Daniel, the great man of prayer, went into his house, and the windows being open in his chamber, and remember, he prayed, gave thanks, prayed towards Jerusalem. So here's some great examples, some biblical examples of the Lord's servants, known for their prayer lives, and they had a specific place to pray. And I want to impress that upon you tonight, brethren and sisters. The Saviour and others had such a place, and I want to stress to you tonight that you ought to have such a place as well. So ask yourself just about that as you're gathered here meditating upon the Word of God in the Lord's house in the place of prayer tonight. Do you have a specific place to pray? Or is this a matter that you've been careless about in your own walk with God, your own private times with the Lord? I stress to you, it's a simple thing. It's a very basic, practical thing, but it's often forgotten. And the reality is that an effective prayer life starts here. It starts with the place where you seek the face of God. And I suggest to you tonight, if you don't have a place to pray, if that has never been the case up to now, then you need to think about that. You need to pray about it. Ask the Lord for his guidance to show you where would be the best place in your home for you to spend those important times before the throne of grace. Remember that there are many advantages to having a specific place. Others will then know your habit. Others will know what you're doing when you go to that place. And when you're there, you'll not be disturbed because they will know the important business that you're engaged in. So the place to pray should be a specific place. Notice as well, it should also be a silent place. Because the Saviour says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door." I want you to note those words. The place to pray should be a specific place. But not every place is suitable. The place to pray should have certain characteristics. And one of those characteristics is it should be quiet. It should be a place that's silent. You need a place to pray where there's no noise or no distractions. You think of those words, shut the door. In other words, what the Lord's saying to us, when you're going to pray, you need to shut out the world. You need to shut out every noise. You need to shut out every other disturbance, every other distraction. Think of some of those examples we gave a few minutes ago out there in the field. The quietness, the Saviour in the garden, Peter up on the roof. Because remember this, brethren and sisters, the devil will not want you to pray. The devil will do all that he can to disturb you and to hinder you at the place of prayer. He knows the importance. He knows the power that there is in prayer. Remember Joshua the high priest in the Old Testament scriptures, standing before the Lord. And what was happening as he was standing there before the Lord, engaged in that sacred business? We're told that Satan was at his right hand to resist him. And there's a great warning for us there. Every time we come to the Lord, to the place of prayer, you can be sure the devil will be there to resist you. He will do all that he can, brethren and sisters, to keep you from the throne of grace. What he'll do is he'll make that the noisiest time of the day. The phone will ring, the family will require your help, your attention. There'll be somebody at the door, there'll be callers that will come along. So what that means is we need to take steps to deal with that. Definite, practical steps. And that's what the Lord's talking about here. That's what he's teaching us here. He says you need to shut the door. You need to shut the door on the world for that time that you're going to seek the face of God in prayer. You need to seek a quiet place to call upon the Lord. You think of our devotions that we have daily, and I encourage you to do that. Make that a regular part of every day. We sometimes call those personal devotions the quiet time. And remember that the quiet time, if it's going to be profitable and effective, it needs a quiet place. Not beside the TV, not where the children are praying, not where others are talking. We need a quiet place. I know that's difficult. The house is always busy. The house can always be noisy. It's a home for the family. It's a place where others live and have to carry on with life as well. So what that means is you need to take steps in order to have that quiet place, to have your quiet time. One such step that can be suggested is to rise a little earlier. Remember, the Saviour did that. The Bible says that he rose a good while before day. That's something that needs to be stressed. It's scriptural. It's something that the Saviour sets us an example in. Remember too that in the place of prayer, when we come to pray, you can have the problem of wandering thoughts. You can't focus. You can't concentrate. You can't concentrate on the throne of grace, the prayers, the petitions, the people that you know you need to be praying for. And how do you deal with that, brethren and sisters? Well, you need a place where there's no noise, no voices to distract you. To study, if you're going to study, one of the things they teach you at school, universities and so on about study is you need a place that's quiet, a place where there's no noise. That's the reason why when you go to a library, the silence or the quiet signs are so prominent for all to see. Well, if you need a place where there's no noise to study, the same is true, brethren and sisters, when it comes to prayer. The psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." It's only in the stillness and the quietness that we can sense the presence of the Lord. So whenever, brethren and sisters, you're looking and considering a place to pray, the place to have that time with God, you need to look for a silent place. So a specific place, a silent place. The other thing I'll emphasize to you about the place to pray that's taught here in this verse is it should be what the Savior calls a secret place. If you look at the end of the verse, he says, "When you have shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The word secret, you'll see, is used two times. It's used twice. You're to pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If you think of something that's secret, that's something that no one else sees, something that no one else knows. A secret place is a place where no one else is there. And brethren and sisters, our place of prayer should be like that. It ought to be a secret place There's no one else there. No one else sees. No one else hears the things that are said, the prayers that are offered, the petitions that are made. And I want you to take that in tonight. There's no one else there, just you and the Lord himself. The text, if you look at it carefully, verse 6, there's only two people mentioned, two people spoken of, but thou, that's talking to you, to the Christian, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So the text only speaks of two people. And you know what the message of the verse is when you're told to shut the door and pray to your Father which is in secret? The message is you need to get alone with God, brethren and sisters. How vital that is. It's one of those things that can easily be forgotten in the Christian life. There's a great need. The Saviour's stressing it here. To get alone with God in the secret place. There's times for collective prayer. Times to pray with others, as our ministers, students and so on are doing this week. Time to pray with your family. There's time to pray with the church, as we're seeking to do tonight. But remember, there's also a time for private prayer. And that's what the Lord Jesus is encouraging here. You think of being alone with God. What a blessing. How important it is, brethren and sisters. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it in the Christian life. Just to emphasize to you as we finish, the value of secret prayer. There's two things in particular. The value of secret prayer, or praying in the secret place, is you'll not be put off. Often in a public prayer meeting like this, people are put off. Doesn't matter how long they've been saved and coming to meetings like this. There's the fear of man, the nerves, nervousness of what others will think, of what others might say. I encourage you not to be. Ask the Lord for his grace and help to seek him, to call upon him in the public prayer meeting. But whenever you're praying in secret, you don't have to worry about others. There's no one else there. In the secret place, you can pour out your heart unhindered before the Lord. The other value of the secret place or praying to the Lord in secret is, and it's perhaps more important, you can get to know the Lord. You think of that. How do you get to know someone better? Well, the answer is you spend time with them. And especially if you spend time with that person alone on a one-to-one basis. And that's why we don't know God as we should. That's why we don't know God's word as we should, or know God's will. We don't get alone with the Lord as we ought. You think of what the Lord said of Abraham. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He was the friend of God. He was in constant communion with the Lord. And the Lord revealed his will. The Lord revealed his mind, his purposes to his servant Abraham. So the place of prayer, the place of private prayer, brethren and sisters, a very important thing in the Christian life, should be a specific place, a silent place, and a secret place. I'll tell you this just as a finish, encourage you to read the life of John Wesley. What an impact he made for God in his 88 years upon this earth. When I read the life of John Wesley, I read about his habit every morning. For many years, John Wesley rose at 4 o'clock every morning. As a young man, he went to bed. He did a little bit of trial and error. He wanted to get up at 4 o'clock, so he kept trying out what time he had to go to bed in order to be able to waken and rise at 4 o'clock. So he realized he had to go to bed at 10 o'clock every night. And it didn't matter where he was. He retired to bed. Didn't matter who was there, who came to visit. He was in bed for 10 o'clock. When he was 84, he wrote in his journal or his diary, he lamented that there was an increasing tendency to lie in bed to 4:30 in the morning. But John Wesley got up at 4, and the first hour of every day was spent in prayer with the Lord. There's a little room beside his bedroom. He lived on City Road in London, just beside what was called Wesley's Chapel. You can still go and see the house. If you're ever in London, I would encourage you to do that. There's a museum under the chapel. They still hold services in it. But there's a museum to his life under, and beside is his house, John Wesley's house. I think it is one of the most blessed experiences I've ever had, to stand in that little room off his bedroom, a sacred place where John Wesley spent the first hour of every day with his Greek New Testament and on his knees before the throne of God in prayer. That was his place of prayer, brethren and sisters. And it's one of the secrets, one of the reasons why the hand of God, the blessing of God, was so mightily upon his life and rested so mightily upon his ministry. So I'd encourage you to follow in that example. May God teach us today from this text, from these words of our Saviour, how important the place of prayer is in the life of the child of God. So pray the Lord will bless this message, these thoughts to your hearts tonight. Just one